News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Good morning. Jackson here along with Wendy Polk. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson Polk. I am Wendy Polk, sitting in for Melissa Sargent,
who is actually over at Concordia today. And who knows, she may actually call us. You never know.
Oh, that'd be cool.
She's hanging out with dead people, and sometimes they have cell phones with dead batteries. And it works. If you have a dead battery and you're a dead person in the cemetery,
you can make a call?
Yeah, it works.
And do you get charged minutes or data, or how does that work?
That's a dead issue. We just can't talk.
Rimshot.
Wendy,
okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's another radio program in El Paso about the history of El Paso. And again, the reason that this turns out to be worthwhile and important is because none of us children, basically, in the EPISD or a public school systems were ever taught any history about El Paso.
Which is a shame. I didn't learn anything either, but I grew up in upstate New York.
So. But did you learn about the local history in upstate?
Yes. We had a club about it. We did projects about
it. Really?
We learned a lot about local and state history.
Amazing. Well, in El Paso, we seem to be it for instruction here. There's a couple of good things you can do to additionally look up history. One is a book by Maria Natividad. They sell it down at the History Museum.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
and
it.
It's about sites in historic sites in El Paso, and she has it in Spanish and English on one page, a picture she drew on the opposite page, and she does like 20-some-odd locations in El Paso that explain El Paso history. So it's an interesting look at stuff. And like, will you hear what we have going on today? For example,
what?
MacGoffin Home has a ghost tour tonight, and they're doing War of the Worlds.
It's a special version of War of the Worlds pegged to the MacGoffin Home. I think it means they have Adobe spaceships.
Oh, that's going to be good. I mean, if they can get them off the ground, we want to know how they power
exactly,
those.
Exactly.
Waco Tanks Interpretive Fair going on today and tomorrow. Get a hold of them. Go out there and see that. Tom Lee Institute has stuff going on this weekend, during the weekend, next weekend. Go to tomlee.com, see what you can find out there. But basically, this is KTSM AM 690, and we do this every week, and we come out on there. But also, we say Texas history begins in El Paso, and that's the big interesting reveal, so to speak.
Right.
Is that there's such history here. It's amazing. And the reason we don't have it taught in our schools, I really don't know. But I can only speculate, but we can only fix it, which is what we're doing here. And they can find us elsewhere.
Yeah, if you're not listening to us on the radio, you may be listening to us on KTSM Radio, where you go to ktsmradio.com, click on the iHeartRadio link, and you can listen to this program all over the planet.
If you have the right devices.
Exactly.
It doesn't just come out of your frying pan.
Well, why not?
Well, in the old days, you could get radio. In fact, you might still get radio in a frying pan down in Clint, Texas. Remember that you weren't here, but there was a 150,000-watt AM station across the river in Mexico.
Oh.
And the electric company really liked them because they used a lot of power.
And you could get the station on your fillings,
too? It would come on things that were of some sort of harmonic. It would resonate, and the lady in the kitchen said it's coming out of her frying pan. And that's not like you really want to do that. Okay, moving on to the reality here. We're going to do the trivia stuff today, right?
Yes, yes. In both hours of the show today, the first caller with the correct answer to the trivia question will have the option of winning either a $20 food coupon for Pepe's Mexican Restaurant in Canutillo or an El Paso Gold DVD. You get to choose one. We have a variety available today. Gunfights of the Old West, Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 2, 4, 2, and 2.
You like that?
Well, that's the order I'm reading them in. And then there's other stuff like the Women's Club of El Paso.
That's actually interesting history.
Incredible history. What women did in this valley and are still doing is pretty remarkable.
Oh, it is. So we got those things to give away today. We'll get to that in a minute or two. Today's major focus is a little mountain on the west side of El Paso that is technically in New Mexico. And it is called Mount Cristo Rey. It used to be called something else.
Right.
But we've got the guy on the phone here who is actually in charge of the public relations of that place, Ruben Escandon Jr. Good morning, Ruben. How's life?
Good morning, Jackson. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Ruben.
And you're coming in by phone because you didn't take the train.
That's right. There was a train. Traffic in El Paso, as you know, on the west side is a headache. But coming out of Crystal Ray, there's a train stopped at the crossing. Finally moved the train, but it get on Sunland Park, and traffic is backed up because Paisano is closed today.
Oh, my. So there's our traffic alert. Paisano was closed today.
And yeah, also, I closed at 5 o'clock this morning, so traffic is being diverted from there, and we have to go all the way around to Sunland Park, and now we're coming up on Mesa, so I should be there shortly.
Well, we can have you on the show anyway, because here you are, dude. We got the magic of telephones here. And also, we should tell people that you and I met years ago as we were trying to figure out another documentary to do, and you said, hey, why don't you do one on Mount Crystal Ray? And I said, hey, why not? And so
that's how
I met you. Tell us some stories about Mount Crystal Ray, because, I mean, it's an amazing mountain, and you just coming from there. So you have dirt on your feet when you get here that will be indicative of your day. But you're the public relations guy, basically, over there, right?
That's right. I've been, Jackson, this is a family kind of heirloom that I've inherited. My parents, my grandparents, and many, many family members worked up there most of their lives in building and maintaining this monument. Of course, it was built in the 1930s and finished in 1939 and dedicated in 1940. And from that point on, our families have been involved in maintaining that monument. And this is something that families from here in El Paso did as a love, of course, of the church. Their faith led them to do that. And now it's a kind of family tradition for us. You know, there's third generation volunteer families that have been around since the beginning. So for us, it's something that, you know, a lot of people say, why do you do it? You know, we were talking, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Wendy the other day, and I kind of realized to myself for the first time that, you know, Mount Crystal Ray has been a lifelong career, 34 years of doing this now. And
just for you.
Paid yet.
Just
and
for
haven't
you.
Been paid yet.
No, well, yeah. The check is going to be in the mail, but the mail's not coming. But the point is, that's just 34 years just for Ruben Escandon Jr.
Wow. That's right.
Senior, he was there as a little boy. I remember seeing pictures of him. And back in those days, it was an interesting thing because they had to build the trails up the mountain. And, of course, Urbici Soler was hired to build the actual monument up there. And let's talk about some of those details. But the thing that impressed me was that after church or after Mass or whenever the Catholics would gather in that smelter town church, you old Padre
Lourdes Costa?
Costa would say, okay, everybody, meet after church and wear some your lesser than better shoes.
Bring your work clothes.
Yeah, work clothes. And then even the little kids were given a pail of dirt. Take the dirt up and dump it and come back and get another one. I mean, that's how they built the trails, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, most of, my earliest childhood memory of Crystal Ray was probably 7, 8 years old. And when we used to have to do that, you know, that we'd go gather up there on Sundays. And that was our Sunday outing. Of course, living there at the foothills, we played in the area, you know, and never really thought about what it was. But, you know, as I was growing up there, we started helping out, moving rocks and hauling dirt. But even my grandparents tell stories. My grandmother tells me, you know, that she would tell me that she her stories and her memories of when she used to carry the rocks and the pails and pails of cement that would be taken up there to the top to build up the retaining walls and whatever they had to do. So everybody had a part, you know, growing up there. And it's something that a lot of people don't understand. You know, they think that, I guess, one day that statue just popped up out of nowhere and that was it. But they don't realize, you know, the work and I tell everybody the blood, sweat, and tears that went up there, you know, that are on that mountain.
Well, and it's go ahead, Winnie.
Well, for people who aren't familiar with Crystal Ray, what we see today is a statue of the risen Christ at the top of a mountain, right?
That's correct. That's correct. The sculptor, Urbici Soler, when he was contacted by Monsignor Lourdes Costa, you know, he was given the idea. Soler came here to El Paso, and he was presented with the idea of building this monument. And Father Costa's, Monsignor Costa's vision was a risen Christ, something of a victorious Christ. And that's how it's been explained also by Bishop Ramirez from Las Cruces, and now Bishop Emeritus, he's going to be leading the pilgrimage this year, which incidentally is the 29th. Next Sunday is our annual pilgrimage, which most people attend, and there's 15,000 to 18,000 people or more, you know, that attend that day. So Bishop Ramirez described it as a risen Christ. He was a victorious Christ because he's not actually crucified. When you go to a Catholic church, you know, here you see a crucified Christ, you know, hanging on the cross, and the monument, Christ is actually in front of the cross, so it's not crucified at that point. So it's a risen Christ.
Well, you have the conclusion of the story as opposed to the story, and it's one of its worst moments in my estimation. But the point is, it's not a crucifix. And I know a guy; he was in his late 70s, early 80s when I interviewed him, and he'd been going up there since he was a kid as a Boy Scout. He was up there when it was being dedicated, and he argued with me that it was a crucifix. And I said, "Sir, you never really looked up at the cross, did you?" And that wasn't a good moment for him, but it was a reality check for everybody. It is the risen Christ up there. And so which way is he facing, Reuben?
He's facing towards El Paso.
And Smeltertown.
Yes.
And Smeltertown, that's right. You know, and the story is, and like I say, over the years, research that I've done, the stories that I've gathered from family members, has given us a new perspective, I think, on how this monument was actually built. Because the story is that Monsignor Costa, once he arrived here in El Paso, he was assigned there to San Jose del Rio Grande Church. And looking out the back window of his residence, he envisioned a monument that he wanted to build. And at that time, as the Vatican had put out a call for monuments to be built, to draw people back into the church, and this is the vision that he had. And of course, he didn't know where the mountain actually existed. He didn't know who owned the mountain. So until they found that out, then he decided that he would build this monument at the top. The first monument in 1933 was the wooden cross. The second one in 1934 was an iron cross that the students of the vocational school there at the Asarco in Smeltertown had built. But this risen Christ and this vision that he had was just the bigger picture. Initial drawings that Soler had made included the whole mountaintop covered in marble.
Wow. You know,
the whole top was covered in marble, and he wanted this massive production. Of course, money fell short at the time, and they'd never completed that. The crown was not actually built until 1989 for the 50th anniversary.
Oh, really?
So it was just a little fence up there you could fall off if you didn't try too hard.
Right, and it was pretty much open for the most part. You know, so people would climb up there, and there was nothing to keep them from falling off the mountain. Exactly.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But 1989 for the 50th anniversary, the committee got together with some people that helped us with KCOS. They put together a telethon, and we were on the air and raised about $30,000. And then we had some matching funds, donations that came in, and we were able to finish the crown that Soled envisioned around the Christ itself.
Well, it's interesting. Barbara Given Bainey has put up some pictures on her Remember in El Paso wind site. And it's interesting to see some of the old days and the old pictures. And there's a picture of Lourdes Costa on there. There's also a map of old Smeltertown if you want to go see what the streets were in El Bajo. That would be El Bajo.
Right.
That would be the lower area. But then there's this other picture, Reuben. I think it's one that I got from you or someone of the Cristo Rey Restoration Committee. When we did the documentary, we asked people to bring their pictures, and people were kind of leery about giving us their pictures out of, and they were in shoeboxes, literally. So we went over to the mountain one day and said, okay, bring your pictures, we'll record them, and you take them home. Oh, okay, if you're going to do that. They thought we were going to keep them, and they'll never see them again. One of these pictures you can see way before they put anything. It's with the original iron cross from Asarco. And there is a pilgrimage up there, and they're having to climb almost straight up because the last few feet didn't exist.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you see this picture, Wendy?
I'm getting there.
Look at this. And so there's some amazing history that's been created in various places, and that's one on Facebook right there.
But if you want to take part in the pilgrimage, you should know that there are steps that take you up that last little bit, and there is sort of like a plaza with some room for people to stand.
The crown.
The crown. We might call it a plaza, too,
yeah,
for those who haven't seen it, so you know it's not like on somebody's head.
It's an interesting history of El Paso, and it's even more bizarre when you realize it's in Sunland Park, New Mexico.
And right, and that's the one thing we're talking about, that, you know, the crisis facing, you know, Smelter Town and El Paso, and at the time that it was built, that was the idea, that it was built by people here in El Paso. And Smelter Town, Texas, of course, was on this side. So the most of the volunteers and the donors and everyone that contributed was from El Paso in this area. So in 1982, when the boundaries changed because of the creation of the Diocese of Las Cruces, then the control of Mount Cristo Rey went to Las Cruces. Went to the Diocese of Las Cruces, and I used to kid around with the bishop there in Las Cruces, Bishop Ramirez, and I would tell him, you know, that he needs to give it back. You know, this is something that El Paso built, and El Paso, you know, takes pride in their icon here, the religious icon, and of course the artistic icon that it is. And we used to tell him, I said, there's a reason he's standing facing this way. He's got his back to Las Cruces.
Well, there's not a whole lot you could tell a bishop. I found that out when I worked on this video. But also, I did find out it would be up to the Pope to actually make a decree like that. Because the Pope set the jurisdictions for the diocese.
Yep.
And for him to change that would take a papal action. And I don't think we're going to see that. But on the other hand, it's still the people of El Paso who take care of it. You.
It is.
I mean, all
it
the...
All, like
all,
I say, there's,
go ahead.
There's, you know, there's volunteers that have worked up there. And the same memories that I have of working up there as a kid, these guys, the same thing, you know, the Castañón family, the Vasquez family. There's different families that have been up there most of their lives. And a lot of them, of course, are from the same families that they, you know, have shared in this treasure. And it's a labor of love. You know, I think one of the volunteers described it as a labor of love. You know,
oh, yeah.
We go up there and it's hard work, and it's, you know, we've tried to ease the actual physical labor part of it. A lot of our volunteers now, the older members, they're upwards of their 70 years old.
That's not old.
So we're the younger generation.
Ruben,
that's
not old.
Yeah.
But they're doing physical labor.
Physical labor is kind of tough when you're doing that.
Oh, you're right about that part. All right. And also, one of them commented already on Facebook, Henry Silva. I referred to you as a famous spokesperson of Mount Cristo Rey. And he said, famous spokesperson? When we were cleaning the road, he was just a baby, referring to you.
Right.
Okay, give us a traffic report and come on in. How close are you?
I am outside the door. Come get me.
Hey, Shelley, open the door. We'll see you in a minute or two. We'll take a break here, Ruben, and I'm going to let go of the phone here. Thanks a lot. Okay, we got Ruben now walking in. We'll see how that works. We'll get a traffic report.
Okay.
So, Wendy.
Yeah.
Tis time for trivia.
Oh.
And you know, the second question that we didn't talk about, maybe we should dip down into the last question on the second hour.
Got it.
Go to number one, and this is for the trivia.
Okay, this is trivia question number one. What is the name of the group that takes care of the Mount Cristo Rey property?
Specific name. We just said it three times.
Right.
And also, do that last question down at the bottom there.
Who owns Mount Cristo Rey?
That's the one. And so the question is, what do you get if you call us up? You get what you call over here, them DVDs?
You get some amazing prizes. You can choose from a gift certificate for Pepe's or a El Paso Gold Heritage Series DVD.
All right, we got that going on here. Again, repeat the first question.
The first question, what is the name of the group that takes care of the Mount Cristo Rey property?
It's a specific group, and they are from El Paso, and that's not in the name.
And they've been around forever.
And Ruben was a baby when they first formed.
Yeah.
The guy just said that on Facebook. And the other question is?
Who owns Mount Cristo Rey?
Pick a question, call us up, win a prize of Pepe's $20
and or
a DVD.
DVD.
What's that phone number, Wendy?
Call us at 544-5876. 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text LIKE to 42424 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text LIKE to 42424. That's LIKE to 42424.
Generation 2000.
Generation 2000, a children's fair, will be Saturday, October 28th at the Outlet Shops at El Paso, beginning at 11 a.m. Bracelets for the event will be available for free entrance to all the rides and entertainment for a small donation to benefit El Pasoans fighting hunger. We'll have children's activities, bouncy castles, entertainment performances, food vendors, music, face painting, balloon twisters, stilt walkers, and much, much more. So come out and join us at the Outlet Shops at El Paso, I-10 at Trans Mountain, beginning at 11 a.m. on Saturday, October 28th, for lots of fun and surprises benefiting El Pasoans fighting hunger. Brought to you in part by the Outlet Shops at El Paso and iHeartRadio.
Kids are what it's all about. Generation 2000. That's what makes them jump and shout. Generation 2000.
iHeartRadio does something no other app or website can do. Thousands of live radio stations you can take anywhere. Want to listen to that station in Denver, but you're in Philly? No problem. In Austin, but you miss Seattle? No problem. Plus, iHeartRadio lets you create your own custom artist stations.
Hey, this is Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue on iHeartRadio.
Just type in the artist you love, and iHeartRadio creates a station just for you. Free radio and unlimited music all in one app. iHeartRadio.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson's here along with Wendy Polk in for Melissa. She's out
hey
at
there.
The... She, in fact, if she wants to call us, she's probably not listening, but she could ring us up and tell us what's happening at Concordia. Today's the big day at Concordia, Walk Through History.
Yeah. The place people are dying to get into.
Oh, that's an old one. They're always dying.
It's an old cemetery.
Well, that's why it's an old joke, so
yeah,
there you are.
Right.
All right, a couple of things to tell you about. Our DVDs are continuing to be broadcast on KRWG-TV. That's Channel 22 on Sunday nights at 10:30. This is actually, they've decided to renew this, and they had some interesting responses.
Oh, nice.
And so what they're saying is they're going to start it all over, but we haven't finished the first run yet.
Right.
And so the first run, that's tomorrow night, October 22nd.
Sunday.
That'll be Sunday, Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 4.
Oh, that's the cool one.
Oh, my goodness.
With the psychic Diana Calamia and her team of ghost trackers as they search for spirits at the old Asarco Smelter.
And?
They find more than they ever expected.
Who wrote that line?
That's a great line.
I know who wrote that line.
Really?
But Diana encounters hundreds, maybe even thousands of spirits that show themselves as white balls of light. Now, there are some people who think that they are not white balls of light, but she talked to them, interviewed them, and then they started following us as specific balls of light, and they were not
right.
But specks of dust.
They weren't just flares, light flares?
No. But you can
Ric Flair or something.
Well, the whole crew. We went with Diana into the main smokestack.
Oh,
the dangerous powerhouse building that almost got her. She's a pretty tough chick, and that one overcame her. And we'll talk.
She's a strong woman.
That's what I said. And other buildings. All these buildings are now gone forever. So anyway, during an evening visit, we found the old Smelter Cemetery. She continued to communicate with spirits, and she found. Well, her point was to go try to help them find peace.
Right.
It's not like a ghost hunter people, oh, look, we found a ghost, let's put him on TV. We don't care about that. We didn't really want to do that. What she wanted to do was to go help the souls who were stuck there. And so, that's what Ghost 4 is all about.
So she's not being antagonistic.
No,
she's
no, no.
She's trying to be peaceful and healing.
I walked out of one of those. I went with some ghost hunters once to an old hospital. And they started arguing with the ghosts about, well, you don't, you're so stupid, you can't show yourself.
What?
And I thought, this is like insulting people standing here. Yeah. Why are you doing that? So I walked out. Huh. But anyway, this is the Ghost 4 is how you want. It's a tour of the smelter at night is one thing.
Kind of spooky in its own right.
It was strange to do it. And also, that's it tomorrow night at 10:30, KRWG 22. And that's Ghost Stories of El Paso Volume 4. One more notice to tell you, Club Friendship meeting Tuesday, October 24th, St. Paul's Methodist Church, 7000 Edgemere. The program is Lady Flo El Paso's Royalty, presented by Patricia Wickham. Program is $10 in the meal. Call them up, 591-2326. And you have an announcement of some major nature there.
Which one would you like me to do?
Do Waco Tanks. They're on today.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's today.
Today and tomorrow is the 23rd Annual Interpretive Fair at Waco Tanks. You know, Waco Tanks is a state park and a historic site, more than 10,000 years of history, filled with historical and cultural gems left behind by early hunters and gatherers, Native Americans, and others. And today there's a free event. It runs from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., including Native American songs and dance demonstrations, cultural presentations, and educational tours. If you can't make it out there today because you're listening to the radio, it's also tomorrow. It's just a very cool thing to do. And talk about weather. Today is like perfect weather
go
there.
Be great to be there. All right, we have trivia on the brain. We now have Ruben in-house.
Yay.
You made it in, huh?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Ruben managed here. And we'll get a traffic report in a minute, but we got to do some trivia here. We got somebody on the phone here. Shelley, again, that name, I didn't write it down like because I should have, and this is James. James is on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's life treating you, dude?
Oh, right. Had it on my way to Anthony. That's why I turned on the radio a little late, but I didn't get the first trivia, but I got the second question.
Oh, so you do here. Wendy, repeat the second question for him, just for everybody.
The second question, who owns Mont Cristo Rey?
And the answer
is? The Diocese of Las Cruces.
That is correct. It's the Catholic Church.
Hey.
And the Diocese of Las Cruces is owned by the Catholic Church. It's all
yes.
One big thing.
Yeah.
But it used to be owned by the Diocese of El Paso, which is how it got built. Do you have a memory of any of that in your history?
I have a memory of when we were part of the Diocese of El Paso, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever been up Cristo Rey?
No. I live in Las Cruces. We do the other shrines over here, the lesser ones.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome to come borrow Cristo Rey for an afternoon, and a good day to do that would be a week from Sunday, actually.
Yeah. On the side note, my father, when he was a young construction worker, he worked at the Asarco Tower on the concrete work up there.
Did he help build the stack?
Yep. Yeah, he helped build it, yeah.
That is an amazing story how they built that stack, because people don't realize this. Maybe you do because you have a connection to it, but that's two smokestacks. It was two smokestacks,
exactly.
One inside the other. And because of the convection and the heat, they managed to make that work for them. All right, we appreciate you calling, James. We got yourself a choice here, $20 of Pepe's, which is good food out there. It's New Mexican cuisine, you know.
The very best, yes.
Right.
Yes.
I've been there. Absolutely.
Okay, that's available, or a DVD. We mentioned a couple of titles here. What is your choice, sir?
I'll take the DVD.
Okay, pick a DVD, Wendy, see what we can. Oh, how about you want to hear the ghost tour of the smelter?
Sure.
Oh, that'd
be great.
That one's bizarre. That's Ghost Stories of El Paso Volume 4.
Right.
It actually airs tomorrow night on Channel 22 in the El Paso Las Cruces area. So we'll give you a copy, and Shelley will come along and tell you how to pick that up, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
Thank you for calling.
Great show.
Thank you very
much.
Well, we do El Paso area history, and the whole thing is in our hands here because nobody else is teaching El Paso history. All right, we need to talk further about a lot of things, specifically what? We need to take a break here, don't we?
Well, do we want to mention the first trivia question again and see if anyone can answer it?
Throw that out there. See what happens.
What's the name of the group that takes care of Mont Cristo Rey that Ruben has been representing for most of his life?
Specific name. It's not the Mount Cristo Rey El Paso Club.
No.
That's not it.
No.
But it's something kind of like not really that.
Right.
So, Ruben, we're going to take another break here. Give us a quick traffic report. You just flew in from the mountain.
That's right. Sunland Park and I-10 East is backed up all the way probably past Wrestler. And I just heard that there was maybe an accident up there, so we had to take Mesa, and Mesa is backed up now. But Paisano is closed as well.
But you were coming from the mountain, and your first problem was to get
off of Sunland Park. Getting out of the mountain was tough because there was a train blocking.
There's two railroad tracks. that you have to go across to get to Mount Cristo Rey.
Right.
And I presume that the people of the railroad will have an officer there next Sunday.
Right. We just met with all the law enforcement agencies that that cooperate and help us out on that day. So we had Railroad PD there. We had Sunland Park, the fire department. State police is going to be out there. Doniana County Sheriff's are going to be out there. Wow. So we have a lot of manpower to cover that whole mountain.
About the safest time you can go on a hike at Mount Cristo Rey is next Sunday.
That's right.
A week from tomorrow.
Barring a sprained ankle, yeah.
Well, that's your issue.
that's your problem.
But you have Jeeps that know how to go down the mountain as well as up. And
that's
you'll
right.
Take your ankle with you.
There you go.
Ruben Escandon is in the house. We've got to take another break here. I want to thank the people in the control room because we have Shelley Sutherland on the phones.
Yay.
She's too busy right now talking to James, who won that. But also, Sergio
Valenzuela.
Well, that wasn't very good. One, two, three.
Sergio Valenzuela.
Much better. There he is. See, you got to wake up that studio audience that hangs around in there. All right, taking a break here, coming back. Call us if you like us. Hit us on Facebook. We're looking at this stuff right now.
Oh, there's all kinds of cool pictures on Facebook, but our phone number,
yes.
544-5876, 544-KTSM.
Some of the hogs call it the Big Bend Run. Some call it the Marathon to Marathon. No matter what you call it, it's an experience that's almost impossible to describe, but I'll try. After we leave El Paso, the first night is spent in Fort Davis, where the night sky treats you to one of nature's greatest light shows, a billion years in the making. The drive to Big Bend National Park reads like a who's who of great Texas towns. Alpine, Marfa, Presidio, and the home of the original Texas chili cook-off, Terlingua. All these are appetizers leading up to the main course. As you travel Big Bend National Park, for a moment in time, you'll believe your Harley was created just so you could ride through this canyon, looking up at the sheer rock walls on one side, while catching glimpses of the Rio Grande about 100 feet below on the other. This bucket list experience ends in Marathon, but begins at Barnett Harley-Davidson or at barnettharley.com, where your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-226-1818. That's 800-226-1818. 800-226-1818. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, Wendy has breaking trivia news. Wendy's in for Melissa this morning.
Breaking trivia news, a special prize that can be won this morning if you can answer our trivia question. We have a genuine Mount Cristo Rey hat.
Baseball cap.
Baseball cap.
It's a wonderful hat.
What does it say on the front of it? I can't see it.
Sierra de Cristo Rey Peace. And that's provided by the Mount Cristo Rey Restoration Committee.
And the trivia question, which you need to answer, is what is the name of the group that maintains, takes care, and provides love for the Mount Cristo Rey property?
I've heard that recently. And also, we'll give you a DVD. If you want to call us up right now, 544-5876. But Ruben is in the house. And we got Ruben here talking about stuff. We got your traffic report already. But we are also looking at pictures on Facebook. Barbara Given Baney's putting stuff up like crazy. We've got a few up. I had a comment on what I put up. And what I put up was what we call the snow globe picture. But it wasn't a snow globe. It was a moon set behind the statue, or behind the monument. And people thought I faked that in Photoshop, but I didn't.
Right, right. People, they always ask me about that shot. And they said, hey, how did you do that? You know, is it Photoshop or what? And I told him, how many days you spent chasing that shot?
Well, it took me 2 months. The first month when it was coming down, it got a little cloudy and I was way out of position. And, of course, it's going to move by the next month, and by the time of day is going to change. So I had to recalculate. So then I started 3 days in advance saying, okay, it's going to come down right here. Oh, no, I missed it. So I come back the next, and it wasn't full yet. Oh, it's going to and finally, on the day, I managed to get over there. I was running down Donovan Drive with the big camera. And I barely got it set up. I had it already recording, but it was just recording wild stuff. The first frame that was any good is the one we used, because from then on it changed. It went down.
Right.
It was no longer centered.
And that's the neat part, that it does look like a snow globe, but it's an actual moonshot.
And we put that whole sequence of the moon set on the video, on the DVD for El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey. We'll talk about that video a little further. And it's an interesting history. Is that the same James? Different James. We have another James on the phone here.
Oh, good.
It has to be a different James, because the people here that take care of the prizes know this stuff. We'll get to James in a second. But the thing is, doing that video was really inspirational, because I was over there with the work crews as they were working like crazy. And, you know, it was tempting. Well, give me a rake and I'll do it. No, we need you to take the video, show us doing this. And those guys are working pretty hard.
They do. And it's, like I say, we've tried to ease the physical labor part of it over the last few years. Back then, it was shovels and rakes and loading the little jeeps with the trailers on the back and hauling them to the top and then spreading the rock and the fill dirt by hand. And now it's actually done with the little front-end loader, little bobcat that we were able to purchase.
And then you take the jeeps up.
And now we take the jeeps, and then it's spread out up there. So it helps us out a lot.
But the reason that all this stuff is down at the bottom and not up on the trail is because it rains every year.
Right. It washes out.
It washes all down.
And then there's a friend of mine that has a saying that says that dirt on Mount Cristo Rey has more miles than his truck does.
Is that? Yeah. You can bet, because I saw that all happen. It's an interesting story, but the families that are – this is ingrained in the family's history.
It is.
So
it
many
is.
People from Smeltertown.
Right. And there's – you know, I'm still surprised, and every time I do a presentation, any group that I speak to, I ask how many people – have lived in El Paso their whole life and have never been up there. And always, it's 70-80% of the people that are attending these functions have never been up there.
Or you could say the second question is, how many of you have ever seen the DVD? Because that's your second best shot at this.
Right, right. And that's a thing that a lot of people that have history, even people from Smeltertown, you know, Mr. Silva posted a comment there on the Facebook page.
Yes.
And you know, these people grew up there in Smeltertown. They were part of actually building.
Oh, yeah.
I have... For the last part of my life that I've been involved with Cristo Rey, I've tried to get people involved with pictures, with stories, oral histories.
Oh.
You know, give me something so that we can continue. You know, my ultimate goal before the man upstairs remembers my name, you know, is going to be to build a Cristo Rey museum somewhere.
Yes.
I still want to build that museum somewhere and have all this, you know. This is unique to the country. It's pretty much unique to the world, other than the other monuments that are out there.
It's unique in North America.
In North America,
this
right.
This is a huge event here, and we just sort of look at it like, yeah, there it is.
Right, and people take it kind of for granted, but they don't know the workings behind it. They don't know that this committee works, you know, year-round pretty much to maintain it. There's different groups that visit this monument, oftentimes not religious climbs or the celebration
just
of our
history.
Mountains. Right, but it's all about history.
Well, let's talk to James here for a second, and we'll get back to the pictures, because you want to make a call for pictures here. All right. Got James on the radio. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Now, you're a different James that won the prize already, right?
Yeah, well, I'm just hiding my voice. I am a different James.
you can't fool Shelley, because she requires your driver's license to get a prize. So, well, that's just the station does that. So, all right. Well, James, we have another outstanding question here, and in the balance is another DVD and a hat.
Wow.
Are you interested?
I was in just with the hat.
Okay, the hat. We'll give you a DVD anyway. All right, what is the question, Wendy?
The trivia question of the moment. What is the name of the group that takes care of the Mount Cristo Rey property?
Is it the Mount Cristo Rey Restoration Committee?
Yes!
Yay! Right.
You see, we try to give this stuff away, James. It's pretty clear.
I noticed, yeah.
You can get yourself a DVD and a hat. Let's see what kind of DVDs we got left here. We got a bunch of them here. What do you got here?
We got Ghost Stories of El Paso Volumes 2 and 2. The Women's Club of El Paso.
Go down toward the bottom there.
McGoffin Home. Last tour, the El Paso Smelter.
Now, that's an interesting one. That's not the ghost tour. That's another tour.
In the building.
During the day, we went in all the buildings and video recorded them, and this one is when the stacks came down. Would that be of interest?
Yeah, that does sound good.
There's your DVD. We got a DVD winner here, Shelly, another guy named James.
And a hat.
And a hat. Don't forget the hat.
Oh, man.
Brand new hat,
and
by the way.
We think it'll fit you because apparently it fits Ruben.
Right.
And that means it's going to fit a lot of people, right? I didn't say it. All right, James, thanks for calling here. Any other thoughts on your mind this morning?
Well, yeah, I was a little curious. Sometime back, I had read an article about the miracle of Mount Cristo Rey. I was wondering if anybody is familiar with that story.
Oh, yes. we put it in a DVD called Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 1. And the guy making
one?
Yeah, Volume 1 has that story. And Ruben Escandone Jr. sitting here also commented on it. And it was a story written in the El Paso Times or Herald Post, right?
In the Herald Post, right.
And it was Latham? Was it Latham or somebody else?
I don't
know. Somebody wrote the story, and it was kind of like, really? You want to recount it real quick?
Right. And the story, I mean, the article actually said, you know, and we heard different, you know, accounts of the story and the story behind it. But apparently there was a little boy, it was during Christmas time, that asked his parents for a bicycle. And during those hard times that families couldn't afford a bicycle, they told him that they wouldn't be able to do that and that he had to pray for it. So he set off on his own to go pray.
At the mountain.
At the top of Cristo Rey. And at that point, they had a search party looking for this boy. They had contacted the police, and there was police presence there looking for the little boy. I think he was 5 years old, as the story says.
Up on top of by himself.
Right, and he was at the top of Mount Cristo Rey, and as one of the police officers decided, they lived in the area, so he was going to climb up there. So he climbed up to the top, and as he climbed up to the top, supposedly the little boy was on the ledge facing the statue.
Before the crown was up.
Right, there was no crown at the time. So at the time that the little boy looked up, he lost his footing and started to fall back. And the police officer claimed that there was the hand of Christ that had held him from falling back.
There's your story, dude.
Well, I just get goosebumps hearing that.
Yeah, well, maybe some of it's true. I have no idea. We weren't there. All right. Yeah, well, James, thanks for playing here. Shelly, come on, tell you how to pick us up, all right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And the stories are everywhere about Cristo Rey, because everybody who's been by it says, what the heck is that? And if, you know, at a minimum, you look at it.
Right.
Ruben Escandone Jr. is here, Mount Cristo Rey Restoration Committee. And you were talking about how the history is starting to fade with the older people. You're willing to record them. You'll take the time to record them for no charge.
Sure. I want to keep a history so that we can pass it on, at least to have something. I've had my dad, you know, sit there, and we're at the dinner table, and he starts telling stories, and I'll pull my phone out and record him. The same thing happened with my Uncle Tony. Tony Escandone just turned 95 years old two weeks ago.
So he was in the middle of the construction
Well, he was an altar boy at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he was an altar boy when Monsignor Costa had this vision. We always heard the story of Monsignor Costa having this vision, but we never had, you know, corroborated evidence that how it actually happened. And again, we went over, my dad and I went over to visit Uncle Tony sitting at the lunchtime table with him, and he was eating a sandwich, and he looked up and he says, "How's the mountain?" And I said, "It's still there." And he said, "Well," he says, "did I ever tell you the story?" And when I hear that, I pull out my phone and start recording.
Click.
Yeah, so I started recording him, and he says, "Oh yeah," he says, "did I ever tell you the story?" He says, I said, "No, Dio." I said, "What's it about?" And he says, "Oh," he says, "when Monsignor Costa pulled us back into the kitchen there, and he was showing us, he pointed up at the mountain and told the altar boys that he was going to put a cross up there. He was going to put a monument of Christ up there." He says, and we looked at each other, and we kind of chuckled and said, "Man, he's crazy." But that's where it started, that he actually, and then they were driving to the Canutillo area, because he used to give Mass after Sunday Mass at Smeltertown. He used to give Mass in Canutillo, and he was driving out there with the altar boys in tow, and as he was pointing, he was telling them that he envisioned this cross to be built at the top of this monument. And he says that the following Sunday is when he brought it to the congregation, that he told them that he had this idea, and for all the men in the congregation to bring their work clothes and be ready to build a cross. And he had the material delivered. It was there on the site and the back of the church. And the most men stayed there, and they built a 12-foot wooden cross that was actually put up there the first time.
Getting it up there was not easy because there was zero road.
Right, there was no trail, so they went straight up the mountain. They were led there by a group of Boy Scouts. There's also a picture that I've seen on your site there that has a group of the Boy Scout troop that was going. And one of the volunteers that helps us now is also a cousin, Rudy Garcia, and he's the one that there's a picture of him as a Boy Scout. You know, we call him Rofi, and he's probably, I think he's maybe 79, 80 years old, something like that. But he has the memories. He has the memories of him making that, you know, those treks up there the first time without the road.
It's amazing history. It's an amazing little mountain. It's about, what, 900 feet high, give or take?
Give or take.
Above the terrain.
850 feet.
And it was a, what's that word, Wendy?
Ibabyssal andesite pluton.
There you go. That's the formation.
Right.
Which means it was not part of either the Juarez Mountains or part of the Franklin Mountains. This is something completely different.
Right.
It came up in the middle of the area known as the Rio Grande Rift, and that goes all the way up to Rio Grande, up to northern New Mexico. And it's one reason that the same formation that created Crystal Rafe, 45 million years ago?
Something
give or take,
like that.
Give or take a million years. And it was a volcanic event that didn't turn into a volcano.
Right.
It didn't break the surface. Had it done so, it would have been named a volcano. It just pushed the land straight up. Can you imagine what that must have looked like?
Yeah, during that time.
Taller than what the current Franklin Mountains are.
Sure.
Interesting history there. And that's the Rio Grande Rift is what that formation was. All right, Wendy, taking another break here. Maybe we'll hear from Melissa. We're expecting maybe we'll get her a call from Concordia.
Oh, cool.
But in the meantime, call us up if you like to or you need to.
544-5876, 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-947-1940. 800-947-1940. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-947-1940.
We believe that the best Halloween ever is yours for the taking. That's why HalloweenCostumes.com/iHeart has over 10,000 costumes, including 2,000 made exclusively for you. Your favorite movie, your favorite artist, your favorite food. We have them all, from video games to fairy tale princesses, in sizes infant to adult 8X. 10,000 options await you at HalloweenCostumes.com/iHeart. And why HalloweenCostumes.com/iHeart? Because we're partnering with them to get you 15% off. Go to HalloweenCostumes.com/iHeart and own Halloween.
Hello, I'm Allie McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pole.
Are we doing 2 hours? Heck yeah.
I think that's the plan.
We've got stuff going on here. We got another caller coming in here. But also, let's talk about Concordia Cemetery. It's today. Walk through history. It's on today's the day from 11 to 3. They have storytellers dressed in period costume relating early El Paso history at the grave sites of the deceased. And I wonder what they think about it, but we don't really get those answers. Can you imagine? But so they're standing there in first person telling you what the guy under the ground did or woman did.
And this is a family-appropriate event, by the way. It's $5 for adults. There are discounts for military students and seniors. Under 6 years of old, the kids get in free. It's to 3 o'clock, so if you're going to go, start packing up right after the show, but not yet.
Here's one phone number that I'm pretty sure is out there that would answer, and that would be Patricia Kidney, 591-2326. If you want some information from her on how to get there. But they have gunfighter reenactments out there today.
And
Six Guns and Shady Ladies.
And hay rides drawn by tractors and other fun exhibits.
Stuff going on out there today. That's Concordia Cemetery. And to find the location, it's a spaghetti bowl, basically, under there. But you need to get on Yandell Street.
Yandell Street entrance.
I have to do that candle thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, get out there, check that out. They're going along today till I believe it's 4
3, o'clock. 3 p.m.
Up until 3, discounts for military, etc. Ruben Escandone is still in the house. Got a caller on the phone, and our caller on the phone is Rosine. Good morning, Rosine.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just have a little comment about my son that moved out of El Paso, and when he went to Austin, for some reason he got interested in Mount Cristo Rey, and he came down here to visit, and he said, you know what, I can't believe such an amazing statue up there, and all the work that went into it, and I took it for granted. All the years I lived in El Paso, I took it for granted, and he went up there, and he was just amazed.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
The work.
It's amazing construction up there. The history of it, we actually put it in the DVD. They dynamited a lot of stuff up there. And there was an argument, I believe, back in the day between the padre and the artist on how much road was going to be built, because the artist just wanted you to walk up like it's a ladder and just go walk up an old trail. But then the Monsignor said, no, 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 we need a road kind of like Scenic Drive. He didn't quite compromise, didn't quite make it to Scenic Drive level. But, Rosine, have you been up there yourself?
Yes, I have been. I've been up there 2 times. And I want to ask you, how is it that the Diocese of Las Cruces owns it? Is that on? Is it on New Mexico land?
It is on the New Mexico side. In 1982, the Diocese of Las Cruces was created, and therefore everything in, of course, here from Sunland Park west shifted to the Diocese of Las Cruces. So they became the new owners of that property. Mount Cristo Rey is actually a shrine to San Martin de Porras Church. So the church is actually the parish that is in charge. And then we answered to them and, of course, to the diocese as well.
But you see, Rosine, it was actually built by people from El Paso when it was the El Paso diocese. It made a lot of sense back then. I mean, now to call it El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey is just kind of like, hey, it's ours. Deal with it, you know.
But, well, I learned something from you all today. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for ringing up.
Thank you.
Take her easy. All right, we're going to be back after the news here. We got stuff to do. Call news. And we're going to come back and explain a lot more about Mount Cristo Rey. There's details you haven't even heard yet. So,
Yeah.
And Wendy Polk is in here for Melissa. She's out at Concordia. Ruben Escandone is in here for Ruben Escandone. He made it. See you after the news.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.